Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Back to 1 Timothy 2:7. We're not quite done with that yet. Paul describes his work as a preacher, and he gives three words to describe the work that he's doing. He said, "For which I was appointed a preacher," number one, "and an apostle," number two, "I'm speaking the truth in Christ and not lying," "a teacher," number three, "of the Gentiles in faith and truth." And so this tells us a great deal about the work of the preacher. What it is that those men who are called preachers or ministers or pastors, various names that are given to them, what it is that we, because I'm one of them, we are supposed to be doing. We are to be going forth with the message of another. We are apostles. We are authorized messengers with delegated authority, and we recognize that our authority is not ours. It is the authority of the one who sent us. We are preachers. We are heralds. And that again speaks to the fact that we are delivering a message that has been given to us by another. We don't have the option of crafting our own message. We don't have the option of reshaping the message that is given to us. We are preachers, not editors. An editor is somebody who often reshapes the message that is given to them. Some editing is more serious than others, is more severe than others. I do a little bit of editing in regard to our monthly church paper. Various people submit articles, and two of us have editorial privileges, responsibilities and privileges. I must say that I wield my editorial pen fairly lightly. I don't make a lot of changes, but occasionally I do. Occasionally I'll see something. Now, some of it is not much more than proofreading, just looking for mistakes. And when I see a misspelled word or a mistake in grammar or whatever, I'll mark it, of course. But occasionally I'll see things that I just don't think are worded very well. So I will change them. That's my privilege. I have editorial privileges. I have the right to change things. But preachers don't have that right. Preachers are not editors. They are heralds. They are delivering the message that was given to them, delivering the message as it was given to us. We don't have editorial privileges. We simply have the responsibility of proclaiming accurately the message that was delivered to us. But we are teachers. And that's the third word, and that's the one that we were talking about on the broadcast yesterday. Paul says, "I am a teacher. In addition to being an apostle and a preacher, I am a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." And a teacher is one who instructs. A teacher is one who explains. A teacher is one who makes the content plain. And so in this business of delivering the message that has been given to us because we are heralds, it's not simply a matter of reading the Bible. That's what might seem to be implied by what I said about the herald. All right, a message has been delivered to you. A herald is a messenger. The king gives him his message. He goes to the public square and reads it word for word, just like it was given to him by the king. So it might seem to imply by that word that the preacher basically is just one who stands up and reads the Bible. Well, it's clear from other passages of Scripture that that is an important part of his work, but it's not really the most important part. It is an important part that ought not to be neglected. And we started doing that many years ago in our church, namely having a place for the public reading of God's Word in every service, certainly in every Sunday service, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And when we have Bible conferences or whatever, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we do the same thing. And if there is a suitable portion that the preacher of the hour is going to be preaching from, then we'll normally read that passage, oftentimes, almost always, with some portion of Scripture before and after the actual text that he's planning to exposit, so that the text will be set in its context, which is also very important, both for the one who's delivering the message, to have understood the context so that he can deliver it aright, but also for the hearers so that they can understand the context, and that will help them to receive the truth of that message and to understand it better. So public reading of God's Word is important, and every preacher needs to learn to do that. I have heard, I'm sure you have too upon occasion, some preachers who really had trouble reading a passage of Scripture publicly. They stumbled all over it. Well, I don't mean to call attention to anybody's inabilities, weaknesses, and defects, but if you're called to preach the Word of God, you'd better learn how to read it accurately and in such a way that you're not causing distractions from the Word of God, but are helping people to understand the Word of God. Just reading a passage, you can read it in such a way that it will begin the learning process, that people will begin to understand that passage just because it was read to them in a good manner, an excellent manner. There are ways of reading that helps you to understand the passage that was read because it is read fluently, it's read with the proper inflections, it's read with the emphasis upon the words that need to be emphasized. It's read with an understanding of the punctuation and the flow of the passage. That can help people greatly to understand that particular portion of God's Word. Or if you read it in a poor manner, you can detract from the understanding of that passage if you emphasize the wrong words. Now, sometimes which words you emphasize are a bit subjective, and one person might emphasize one more highly than another, and another might emphasize an opposite one. In some cases, there's not a right and a wrong. That's just that's interpretation. Which word do you think ought to be most emphasized? And in some cases, there can be some legitimate differences there. But in some cases, it's pretty obvious. You don't emphasize the conjunctions the same way you emphasize the verbs. The verb's usually the most important. But sometimes there are nouns that need particular emphasis. Sometimes there are adjectives that need particular emphasis. The conjunctions generally don't. And yet sometimes, well, I've heard people read in such a way that they don't seem to have any understanding of what they're reading. They're reading in a mechanical way. They're emphasizing the wrong words. Their pauses are in the wrong place. They're mangling the proper pronunciation of the words. They haven't read it ahead of time. They haven't prepared themselves to read. They're reading a passage of Scripture that they sound like they're totally unfamiliar with. That's not very helpful. In fact, it's actually a barrier to the proper understanding of the Bible. So by all means, yes, learn to read it. That's an important part of it. But what we're really doing, we're reading it in preparation for explaining it. Reading it is the first step in teaching. You can't really understand what the Bible means until first you understand what it says. That's a good principle of teaching. And I say that to my people from time to time, and this is a good time to say it to all of you, and particularly to any who are preachers and teachers among you. You can't really help people to understand what the Bible means until, first of all, they understand what it says. That's why when you're preaching a text, you ought to not only read the text before you preach it, but you probably ought to declare certain phrases and words and passages from that text rather frequently as you continue to explain it. All of us have heard preachers, I'm sure, who took a text and then completely departed from it. What they had to say ended up having nothing to do with that text whatsoever. That's sometimes called, tongue-in-cheek, a pretext. It wasn't really a text, it was just a pretext. In other words, the text was read as if I'm going to have a text, as if I'm going to preach the Bible to you, but it turns out that what the preacher had in mind was just a springboard to give his own opinions. It really had nothing to do with the Bible. Or only in the vaguest sense, and had nothing to do with that particular text. Well, that's not preaching, because that's not teaching. Teaching is teaching a portion of the Bible. And Paul said, in addition to being a preacher, a kerux, and an apostle, an apostolos, he was also a teacher, a didaskalos. I have, unfortunately, at times heard preachers declaiming that they are not teachers, and that there's a difference between preaching and teaching. I'm no teacher, I'm a preacher. And they've got some kind of erroneous and subjective idea of that. They've been to school somewhere, and they've heard men teaching in the classroom, and it seemed kind of dry and dusty to them. And that to them is a teacher, but they're not a teacher, they're a preacher. Well, you can't be a preacher in the biblical sense unless you are a teacher. Paul was all three. He was a preacher, a herald, a kerux. He was an apostle, an apostolos, and there's certainly some sense in which we can't be that, but he was also a teacher, a didaskalos, one who instructs, one who explains, one who makes plain. Now, those who have the idea that teaching is automatically dry and dusty don't understand teaching very well. A sermon must include teaching, but it ought to have more than that. A sermon is more than just simply explaining the text. Sometimes people think that expository preaching is just simply sharing with your congregation what you learned about that passage. No, that's the basis of it. You have to study it and learn that passage thoroughly before you can preach it. But there also needs to be application. And that isn't always in the meaning of the words in the Greek and so forth, which sometimes people think that's the dry and dusty part. Not in the grammar, not in the vocabulary, but it's there. And in some ways, that's the preaching. The exhortation has to be there. The application, the exhortation, as well as the explanation. And sometimes that's what people mean. And that's what's set in the minds of some people. That's what sets preaching apart from teaching. But the problem is sometimes a message is all exhortation that isn't based upon the Bible. We have to exhort based upon the Word of God, not separated from the Word of God. Well, come back tomorrow. We'll talk about it some more. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.